"Master, dinner is served," Eddie said bleakly. Nigel chipped in at this point, sounding absolutely cheerful. "Would you care for a bite size?" Jake consulted his stomach and found it was rumbling. It was horrible to be this hungry so soon after the pair's death, and after the things he had seen in the Dixie Pig, but he was, nevertheless. "Is there food, Nigel? Is there really?" "Yes, indeed, young man," Nigel said. "Only tinned goods, I'm afraid, but I can offer better than 2,000 choices, including baked beans, tuna fish, several kinds of soup."
"Tuna fish for me," Roland said. "But bring an array, if you will."
"Certainly, Si. I don't suppose you could rustle me up an Elvis special," Jake said longingly. "That's peanut butter, banana, and bacon."
"Jesus, kid," Eddie said. "I don't know if you can tell in this light, but I'm turning green."
"I have no bacon or bananas, unfortunately," Nigel said. "But I do have peanut butter and 3 kinds of jelly, also apple butter."
"Apple butter'd be good," Jake said.
"Go on, Susanna," Roland said, as Nigel moved off on his errand. "Although I suppose I needn't speed you along, so. After we eat, we'll need to take some rest." He sounded far from pleased with the idea.
"I don't think there's any more to tell," she said. "It sounds confusing, looks confusing, too, mostly because our little map doesn't have any scale. But it's essentially just a loop they make every 24 years or so. From Fedic to Colibrin Sturgis, then back to Fedic with the kids so they can do the extraction. Then they take the kids back to the Kalas and the brain food to this prison where the breakers are."
"The Divar toy," Jake said.
Susanna nodded. "The question is what we do to interrupt the cycle."
"We go through the door to Thunderclap Station," Roland said, "and from the station to where the breakers are kept. And there..."
He looked at each of his quartet in turn, then raised his finger and made a dryly expressive shooting gesture.